This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show. Jaguar Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
All right. No JP, no Mike Dempsey. It's Tony Smith and Paul Spicer here with you. Hello, Jacksonville. Hello, 1010XL. If you want to call in, talk a little bit about what you saw this afternoon from the Jacksonville Jaguars as they fall to 1-9 against Dallas, 31-17, the final over there. 355-NFL-1, phone lines are open to you, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you're outside of the area, 1-800-355-NFL-1 to talk about the Jags and Dallas. And look, 1-9. It's difficult to look past a lot of the problems, the issues today for this Jacksonville Jaguars team, and it starts with the turnovers. This is a game that is 7-3. It's 7-3, and it feels like the Jags are right in the middle of it, and then Ace Sanders has a punt go right through his hands. Dallas gets the ball at point-blank range, and Gus Bradley talked about it there when he was talking to Jeff Loggeman on the postgame, Paul. It's from that moment, it felt like that boulder was rolling downhill on top of this Jacksonville Jaguars team, and they never quite recovered inside the game.
I mean, that muff punt is a momentum killer, and it killed the Jaguars' momentum, especially after they had a big run by Denard, a 32-yard run. The momentum was swinging in Jacksonville's favor. And then to go out there, the defense bowled up, made Dallas Cowboys punt, only to have to go right back out there. Like I said, that's demoralizing for a defense. It really, I mean, you're already 1-8. And you're 1-8 because of plays like that. That's not the first time we've seen a play like that this year. We cannot have those plays. Those plays keep us at 1-9, 1-10. That's the things that Jaguars have to fix. And it's not a coaching thing. Players got to look themselves in the face. Because I'm always going to be on the players, but more than the coach. So my whole thing is, these young men are out here with the Jaguar black and teal on. Hey, man, you have to step up on Sunday. We can't have a muff putt. I don't care if you're in London, Egypt, Germany, don't matter, Scotland. The ball is the ball, and that's the NFL football from America, all right? Made up the Sky High somewhere in Nebraska. The bottom line is you have to catch the ball. You have to secure the ball. Give your team a chance.
Yeah, you got to give him a chance, Ace Sanders, with that punt muff. And look, he hasn't given him much in the return game since his return anyway. And
no.
And really last year he didn't help him much in that aspect. I mean, just don't hurt him at that point. And he hurts him with that one. He had a couple of nice returns later on in the game. But honestly, the second half of this game, it felt like a dream. Did anything really happen in the second half of this game? At that point, Dallas goes up. They take the 10-point lead. Or the touchdown lead on Jacksonville at that point. They follow that up with a 17-7 lead a little bit later on. Jacksonville gets the ball, an opportunity with 4 minutes left in the half to go down, cut it down to one. You're getting the ball at the beginning of the second half. And even with everything that had gone wrong for you to that point, with the two turnovers, with everything that was bad at that point in the game, you have an opportunity to go make a drive, make something happen, and get yourself right back in the middle of this thing. They had that opportunity at the end of the first half of this game. They go three and out, bad punt, 68 yards to Dez Bryant on a play where five people can't make a tackle. And now it's 24-7. It's ball game. It's done. And all of that occurs in the last minute of the first half of the game. We talk about execution for this Jacksonville Jaguars team. It's not there right now, Paul, and it wasn't there on either side of the ball for them today.
It was not, Tony. I'm sitting here chilling with my father-in-law, and we both, like I said, as we talked about, and we listened to the game on the radio, as I said earlier, at my daughter's birthday party, cheering her on. We both talked about the play of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it's just not getting done. I mean, making the plays that are there to make, they're not doing it, and then trying to prevent plays to have a, you know, off that bad punt by Anger, which, you know, he's one of the best punters in the league. So, you know, to see him have a bad punt, again, these are the little things that we continue to harp on that the Jaguars cannot have. But the turnaround in one play, 68 yards, boom, Dez Bryant, TD. I mean, again, that is something that just continues. It's like a snowball effect. And if a team gets up right now, the Jaguars are not good enough to come back from 24-7. Right now.
No.
They can be. And I just think that, as you mentioned earlier with Ace Sanders, with this bye week, it's time to have a little it's time to have a little tryouts. All right? It's time to have a few guys go back there, see the shorts. Hey, we know you've done it before.
Marquise Lee was great at it in college.
You was the beast at USC, okay? At one of the top schools in college football today. Hey, he got the speed. He has the elusive. He has the athletic ability to go back there, catch those punts, and make something happen. So, you know what? We got tryouts. We're going to be some like invincible. All right? We're going to have some trials for some punt returners. And, you know, Topman, he's a great kickoff return man. I really think, you know, he's a guy that maybe, you know what, give him an opportunity to go back there and fill some of these punts. See what he does.
All right. Let's get out to the phone lines for the first time. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351 if you'd like to get involved here in the Scoreboard Show. And I can sense your frustration, your anger, Jacksonville, and I have a feeling it's about to be pouring over the radio airwaves. Let's start with Todd out at the beach. Hey, Todd, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. I just can't believe what I watched today. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Fourth and one after a third, you know, third and one, and you run the same play in deep in our own territory, and you can't even get 3 feet. Really, I just can't believe that. I'm sickened by that. And for Ace to drop that ball when we had momentum, I just don't get it. What's going on here?
All right, Todd, appreciate the call. And look, I get it. Fans out there are going to be frustrated today. I think you have absolutely every right to be frustrated. Look, they were leading 7-3 when Ace Sanders had that muff punt. And who knows? I mean, maybe they still lose that game no matter what happens on that particular play. They certainly didn't play as well as Dallas did today. But at that point, that's an offense that had been moving the ball a little bit. You hand Dallas the ball at point-blank range. The third and fourth and one, my goodness.
That was bad.
Yeah, and you came in, Paul. You talked about it. It felt, and really, that's what I'm talking about with the second half of today's game. Was it a dream that it felt lifeless? For the first time really this year since maybe about halfway through that second quarter against Indianapolis where everybody knew they had no chance, especially with Chad Henne playing quarterback, but it felt lifeless for this Jacksonville Jaguars team in the second half of that game.
And that's the first time since Blake Bortles have taken over as a starting quarterback that you kind of got that feeling of lifelessness. You know, and right now, like I said, I just think from the standpoint of Blake Bortles and those guys, it's their first year. You know, they're young, and I'm not going to try to jump on that young bandwagon and use that as an excuse right here. But I just think they don't, right now, they learn how to handle the adversity. They don't know how to. And you know, we all have gone through adversity in our lives and experienced it in some way, shape, form, or fashion, but it seems like to have that fourth and one, that third and one, and then a fourth and one, and get nothing?
Inexcusable.
I mean,
can't happen in this league.
You can't have it. I mean, and I last week we gave praise to Gerhardt on the burst we saw. Okay, coming back, he's finally healthy. You, me, Jessica, we all were here talking about how much you can see the difference in him. But today, on that third and one, I didn't see the burst. I saw a guy take a couple of steps and just kind of laid up in there. Dude, when you third and one, you the power back. Get a rocket in your butt and fire off. And we didn't see that today. And not just him, the whole offensive line. I mean, it was on that fourth and one, as I said off the air, and I'm going to say it on the air, it was really demoralizing to see all the Jaguars' offensive line just turn around by themselves while you saw almost all 11 of the defenders from the Dallas Cowboys on top of Gerhardt about 3 yards in the backfield.
Yep.
That right there, I mean, that it pisses me off. I mean, you know, because like I said, I'm a fan. And I want to see the Jaguars, you know, win. But also, this was the first game outside of the first couple that Chad Henne started. Since Blake Bortles took over the helm, this was the first game that I watched that it did not seem like the Jaguars were it seemed like it gave me that feeling of last year.
Yep.
That we were not the competitive team that we've been the past several weeks.
Yeah, and look, that second half of the game, they came out, you felt nothing. I mean, after that touchdown to Dez Bryant, it was 24-7 going into the half. And, look, we all pretty much knew that the game is probably over at this point, but the players can't believe that, and they certainly can't come out on the field and put up an effort where it feels like they bought into that mentality, and it felt that way today in the second half of the game. It just felt dead for the Miss Jacksonville Jaguars team. Let's get back out to the phones. Clarence is up next from the west side. Hey, Clarence.
Hey, how y'all guys doing?
Doing all right, Clarence.
Well, 31-17, that's how we're doing.
Listen, man, it is so hurtful every week. This seems like the team is just not mentally, physically, it is not ready every week. And separate, man, this is a huge disappointment for the team. Man, it's from everything, man, from offensive line to receivers not getting out of field, Chiefs of shorts and get run down. I mean, I just
said
not enough talent, man. I don't know, man.
Well, Clarence, I gotta disagree with you, man. Hey, this is Paul Spicer, and I gotta jump out there, and I'm gonna defend when it's right to defend, and I'm gonna defend the Jaguars on, you know, outside of this game, far as the past several weeks. When I say several, I'm talking about the past 6 or 7 weeks here. They have been, you know, competitive, very competitive, and an opportunity to win these ball games.
Mm-hmm.
But today, it was not. It did not seem as competitive as we have seen in these past several weeks, as I was saying earlier. So I'm going to definitely, you know, disagree with you, Clarence, on that. But going forward, you're right, okay? You're right in having that feeling of, you know, despair, the feeling like where did our team go today? Because, man, they went in London, but, hey, they left that get-up-and-go here in Jacksonville.
They certainly seem to, and we'll see if they can find it when they get done with that bye week. They're going to Indianapolis here in a couple weeks. Indy has been hot, and can the Jags put up a better effort than they did here at home against that Indianapolis team? We'll find out. Look, from a fan perspective, and I've been talking to you guys on Twitter all afternoon long, but from a fan perspective, it's all frustration right now, and I think rightfully so, because like you said, Paul, I do feel like they've been more competitive here for the past month or so. They've had opportunities to win some of these games. They don't get it done against Pittsburgh. Last week against Cincinnati, they shoot themselves in the foot probably one too many times to really have an opportunity to win that game as well. But they're close in those games, which is why going up against the Dallas team with an injured quarterback and DeMarco Murray coming off his worst performance of the year, the Cowboys seem like a team that you should be able to get on the defensive side of the ball. The offense was starting to play a little bit better for this Jaguars team. They got the running game going with Denard Robinson. The play action has got to be coming soon. And early in this game, you saw it work. They got a big play on play action to Cecil Shorts over the middle of the field. Things were working for this Jacksonville Jaguars team, and it felt like as soon as they had that first thing go against them, it just came crumbling down. And from the fan perspective, that's the same thing they've seen for 3 years. And it really doesn't matter today what they did against Cincinnati. They don't care what they did against Pittsburgh. And I get it. From a fan perspective, I get it if you just want to be mad because they're 1-9. 1-9 is 1-9. You are what your record says you are. Bill Parcells said that however many years ago. In this league, you don't measure success in how much better we got this week. You measure it on what is our record. And for this team right now, it's 1-9. And it doesn't look like it got any better today for this team. So, fans, we want to hear from you. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I'm Tony Smith, Paul Spicer alongside. When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day. When we return, more of your calls. Again, 355-NFL1. We'll get to as many as we can here on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. I'm Tony Smith alongside former Jaguars defensive end Paul Spicer, and the phone lines are loaded up. Before we get back out to him, though, Gus Bradley, talked to Jeff Loggeman a little bit in the post game. Some of his quotes coming out on Twitter now too, from his post game comments to the media. And it's interesting listening to Gus. And there are fans out there who are getting to the point where they feel like everything he says is coach speak, and he paints such a rosy picture of everything going on with this team. A quote that from Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter from Gus. Quote, "I know we're a team that plays with great effort and great toughness, but it's time we take another step. It's time we get it done." And Paul, to me, that sounds like a guy who is frustrated with the level of success for this team right now. 1-9, look, it bothers you. It doesn't matter who you are. For all the fans out there who think that Gus Bradley and these players aren't bothered by the results that they're getting, they absolutely are. Today, even more so than most, because it felt like a step back, not a step forward for this young team.
It felt like maybe four steps back, you know, because right now, look, the way the season's been going, is a step forward and two steps back. But today it felt like four steps. But as you mentioned, Gus Bradley is human. He's a human being with emotion. And over time, this can weigh on you. And I think in that interview, you kind of get that feeling that it's starting to weigh on him a little bit. And that's where, again, as we mentioned earlier, this bye week comes into play. Because Gus is a very positive person, okay? I think nobody will dispute that. And even with how bad things have been around here, he still is optimistic. He still is positive. He still want to find the silver lining in everything. And nothing wrong with that. So I think with the bye week, because I think if we had a game coming up this week, I think you would probably see a little different Gus. But with the bye week, you don't have as much, you know, media attention surrounding you, and you can kind of digress a little bit and just say woo-sai. You know, he can get back here, you know, probably going to be Monday morning when they arrive in Jacksonville, and go home and, you know, lay next to your wife who you haven't seen in almost 10 days, and, you know, get an opportunity to relax a little bit. Just relax, see your kids, see family, sleep in your own bed, and just relax a little bit, because they're going to already watch the tape before they even land here in Jacksonville tomorrow morning.
Yep.
And, you know, coach is going to be working to, you know, make the corrections and point out some errors and things like that. And Gus's mentality and his coaching philosophy and the way he's going about coaching this Jacksonville Jaguar team, you know what? It's not going to make it any better to sit there and just berate and beat down the player by pointing out all the negative, because that player knows it. The player's got to watch the tape, okay? And then, like I said earlier, he's going to go home and watch the highlights on SportsCenter. And unfortunately, we're on the latter end of these highlights. And that's going to be even more of a beat down, you know what I'm saying? So with all that, I think what Gus is doing, you know, he's going to get a guy some time off, and then he's going to come back as he's going to be recharged as well. The players will be recharged. There'll be renewed energy, a new renewed focus. And, hey, let's get back to the way we know how to really play. And we've had that. And the great thing about it is, if they were 0-10, it'd be really difficult. But because they did get opportunity to beat Cleveland, which Cleveland turned around and beat the crap out of Cincinnati on Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
you know, but Cincinnati just beat us, you know, last week. So, like I said, we're right there in the thick of things when the Jaguars play good Jaguar football, the way the coach and the rest of the coaching staff, Coach Bradley and the rest of the coaching staff want them to play. They can compete with everybody in the NFL, with all 31 other teams. But take the break. The head coach, he's got to recharge his batteries as well. He can come back with that positive energy and, you know, get things going in the right direction moving forward after this bye week.
They certainly played well coming out of the bye week last year. We'll see if they can repeat that kind of success this year. It feels like a lifetime ago that they were coming out of that bye week. 1-9 again for the third year in a row, the Jacksonville Jaguars starting 1-9 to their NFL season. We'll turn it over to you now, Jacksonville. Vent those frustrations. Get that anger out. Unleash the demons. Saqib is up next from Southside. Saqib, I got a feeling you're not too happy, my friend.
Let me just say a few things, okay? Is it just me, or am I probably just whining every week? I probably am. But as a Jags fan like I am, I don't understand that every year it seems like that we're getting worse and worse. Okay, I'm tired of, I see every other team in NFL winning. I see Cleveland getting better. I see every team getting better, but us. It's time for this positive stuff. Gus, I'm okay with a little bit of positivity, but it's time to stop, man. It's time to be, I understand we're young. It's time for excuses to stop, and let's get some wins in here. That's why we're one of the worst teams. That's why we're the laughing stock of NFL, because every year we seem to get worse, and it's time to stop. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's getting to the point that me as a Jags fan, I'm tired of this, man. It's just getting worse and worse every year.
All right, Saqib, hey. Hang on, buddy. And look, I can understand the frustration of a fan base that feels like it's piling on at this point. I mean, it's bad game, bad season, bad product being piled on top of bad season and bad product and bad result. I will say, to say that it's worse than last year, I don't think is fair. You got to go back and look at the product they put on the field in the first half of last season. This is not, today was worse than what you've seen from this team since Blake Bortles took over, and there's no excuse for it. You can't make an excuse for the product that the Jacksonville Jaguars put out there on the field today against the Dallas Cowboys. It was terrible.
The game has only been, you know, over less than 2 hours. So right now I understand the fans and their frustration. They're still heated. They're still bothered by the lack of play that we saw by our Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, I'm sure the fans out there can tell, even over the radio airways, I'm a little frustrated, all right?
And look, Paul, and honestly, I think that you should be more frustrated about this game than at any point in last season, because this did feel like a team that was taking steps towards getting better.
Absolutely.
It felt like a team that was more competitive on a week-to-week basis, and then they lay that stink bomb today against Dallas. That's more frustrating because you thought that kind of a product was a thing of the past for this team. That, yes, they're young, but at least they're not going to go get their brains beat out by somebody where it's, by the time the third quarter starts, we're just all sitting around waiting for the thing to end so our torture can be over. We thought that was done here in Jacksonville, and today it reared its ugly head one more time.
It sure did. It popped through there. And unfortunate, like I said, with all the Jacksonville Jaguars in the community, you know, that love this team. And I mean, you know what? It does hurt. And my man, he called in. He's venting his frustrations, as Clarence did earlier. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? As we've been sitting here talking about the Jaguars need to buy, hey, the fans need to buy. You know, the fans need to buy to maybe to recharge and, you know, to calm down a little bit, you know, and that way in a week from now, after this is all over, as the Jaguars go up to Indianapolis, and you never know what can happen. I mean, they can go up there and take care of business. It comes down to a, you know, as we've all witnessed, a Scobie field goal and, you know, knock it through and come back with a win. You just don't know. And like I said, I'm still, when it comes to Jaguars being competitive and winning ball games, I'm still optimistic. I'm not going to sell the cow and the farm as they're staying 1-9 in the season saying it's over. They can't win. It's a wrap. We need to just scrap the whole team and hire all new coaches and all new players. Because no. I don't think that's – that bad right now.
And I think you and I both try to be positive, guys. It's hard to be positive about what you saw today. And as much as you felt like the team may have been improving, it's difficult today to talk about any improvement that you've seen for the last month because it didn't show up on the field. It wasn't part of the product today. Marcus is up next. He's joining us from Arlington. Hello, Marcus.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, Marcus. How you doing?
I'm okay.
I'm actually doing better than, man, most of the callers, man. Wow. I mean, I honestly, I got to say that I've been a fan since Silver Helmets and the Long Logo, so I've been a fan a long time.
From the beginning, huh? 1995.
The beginning. And I've seen it all. I've seen it all. In my young life for the Jaguars, I've seen it all. And you can ask any one of my friends, I'm one of the most passionate Jaguar fans that you've ever seen in your life. So I can understand the fans' perspective of what's going on, exactly what happened today. But the reason why I called in, I usually don't call in on Sundays, was because I heard someone say about the A. Sanders fumble on the punt. And I'm thinking to myself, you want to get rid of the guy because he made one mistake. Now, of course, he was out the 4 games. He made his mistakes in his personal life. And he made one mistake. I say if you condemn somebody for one mistake, then you should be saying, okay, but let's go ahead and fire Blake Bortles. Let's go ahead and fire the whole coaching staff. Let's go ahead and fire Shai Khan for hiring GM Dave Caldwell. My thing is this here. This team is young. Consistency is not there yet. I am frustrated just like the rest of you guys out there. But I think we take it too much because we've been losing so much. And y'all said, I do hear it on 1010XL 92.5. I do hear it when you guys say, listen, we're trying to be positive. I understand that. But it's just so hard. My thing is this right here is give this team time. Give this team these last seven more games so we can go ahead and get this done. Go Jags.
All right, Marcus. They got six more to prove it. And, look, I think to clarify a little bit on the Ace Sanders issue.
Yeah, I was going to go ahead.
Look. Ace Sanders, if anyone is saying that he should be cut, look, fans, they can have whatever opinion they want. That's what he does. He's the punt returner for this team. He was drafted in the fourth round to come in and be an impact player for them in special teams. He has not been. Not. He's not giving them that. Last year, maybe you can talk about the distraction of him having to step up his role at the wide receiver position more than he or anyone else expected him to have to. He caught 51 passes. He was effective for the Jacksonville Jaguars doing that. This year, suspended for the first four games. Has he made one positive, impactful play for them in the return game since he got back? That's the frustration right now with Ace Sanders. I'm not saying he needs to be cut after the game today. I'm saying that they need to start looking at their other options in the punt return game because Ace Sanders is not helping them in that aspect of the game, and that's what he was drafted to do for Jacksonville in the fourth round. Help the punt return game.
People,
and he's not doing it. And he killed him today.
People. Understand something, okay? Let's get past the point of the game and understand that these young men, this is their job. And when you get hired, I don't care what job is out there, from McDonald's to being the CEO of GMC, it doesn't matter. When you get hired to do a job, okay, and you're not getting it done, what happens?
They find someone else to do
your
job. They
find somebody else. You get fired or you get placed in another position or demoted, depending on what level you are, you get demoted. All right, and what we're talking about right now is he's not getting the job done. Okay, I don't think it's to the point where they need to cut him, they need to fire him, but I do think it's at the level where we need to slide somebody else in and find out what they can do, especially when you got guys on your team that have done it, that are proven in other areas. Because we went off Ace Sanders, what he did in college. Because when I watched that young man coming out, he was a beast when it came to punt returns for South Carolina State. Hey. We talked about Marquise Lee. He was a beast in college when he was at USC. Hey, give him a shot. Let's see what. It can't hurt right now, especially because we're not getting nothing out of the punt return game, and we need a spark. And maybe that might be the spark this team needs to really get the last half of the season a jump start and go forward and win some ball games.
Well, they keep hitting the checklist on how can the special teams hurt us in a brand new way this week. Oh, let's fumble a punt. We haven't done that yet. Let's try that one on for size and see how it affects the outcome of a game. Today, obviously, the Jaguars come up short. 31-17, the final against the Dallas Cowboys over in London. The bye week coming up. Couldn't come at a better time for this Jacksonville team. We will continue to take your phone calls. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. I'm Tony Smith, Paul Spicer alongside. When we return, more of your calls. Maybe we'll take a peek at the scoreboard as well. The 4 o'clock game is going on right now. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. Fat Tony, Tony Smith, alongside Paul Spicer, former Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end. Keep your calls coming. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We will continue to take your phone calls. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Some of the scores right now. Three afternoon games rolling along. Last time we talked about it, the Oakland Raiders had a 10-6 lead on the Denver Broncos. Apparently Denver got mad. 26-10, the score in that one now, as they have ripped off a slew of scores here. Peyton Manning now with his third touchdown pass to Julius Thomas just moments ago. Maurice Jones-Drew, glad to see he's still at the level he's been all year, although 4.5 yards a carry is pretty good for Mojo this year on two carries. Two carries for 9 yards for Mojo. Just a terrible season for him out in Oakland. The St. Louis Rams lead Arizona 14-10. Again, Arizona with the best record in the NFL at 7-1, but 14-10 they trail there at the half. And the New York Giants on the road in Seattle with a 17-14 lead at the half against Seattle. Despite the fact that the Seahawks have rushed for almost 150 yards in the first half, the Giants have still managed to take that three-point lead into halftime. All right, let's get back out to your phone calls. We'll start with Jack on the west side up first. Hey, Jack.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Good. Before I make my statement, I like to preface it with saying I'm a former football coach, and I coached football for 40 years on all levels from Pop Warner to semi-pro, including high school mostly. And I've coached over 20 guys that have gone on to pro football, and I've coached 5 running backs who made it to the highest level. Some stuck, some didn't, but at least they got there. So I've been around football a long time, and I like to make a couple of things I like to point out. First of all, being in London for that length of time, do you think it's possible the Jaguars might have lost some of their intensity? Because every time you look in the paper, they were at this function, they were doing this, they were talking to these fans. They were spending a lot of time away from focusing on football. And I know from coaching kids, especially high school kids mostly, that when they lose focus, when they have too many other things going and they lose focus from the game, then they don't go out and perform at the highest level. That's my first point. I have two more points. Second point, I do not understand how Jaguars players, especially on defense, are not able to shed blocks. Paul Spicer, you played defense. I can understand how every other team I watch, their defensive linemen know how to squat and swim, know how to do things to get away from a block. When they're blitzing, I look at a blitz today. They blitz guys and everybody's picked up. We don't get any blitzes from the outside, no blitzes from the corner. And I'm wondering, is that a technique? Is that the way they're being coached or whatever?
All right, Jack, and your third point?
My third point is, you know, you all are hopping on Ace Sanders. You know, if the guys who are supposed to be blocking the gunners, if they don't block, if they don't sustain their blocks, how is he going to have any room to run? I looked, when he had some room to run, there was a block. But other than that, if guys in his face, if the guys who are blocking the gunners do not provide him protection, he's not going to be able to do it. Marquise Lee won't be able to do it. Nobody will.
All right, Jack, appreciate the call. A lot there. I'll start with the Ace Sanders point. Look, I've watched him too many times. If you're the punt returner, you got to make one guy miss.
Yep.
From time to time, and Ace has not done an effective job of that during his time returning punts for this team in their career. And look, I've noticed it too when the Jaguars blitz. They get picked up a lot with their blitz. I don't know if they're not disguising it as well as some other teams do, what the deal is. Now, they've made some big plays blitzing, too. I mean, we've seen Telvin Smith make some huge plays for this team coming on the blitz, getting to the quarterback, getting that ball knocked out, affecting a pass that winds up being intercepted. So they've had some success blitzing on the season as well, but it does feel like a lot of times when they decide to bring 5 and 6, it's still pretty comfortable for that opposing offense.
Well, my man, he pointed me out as far as shedding blocks, which is big, and it boils down to, I'm a coach as well, I coach defensive line, and so I understand where you're coming from. You do have to win your one-on-one. You got to win them, and right now the Jags are not winning those. Just like people talk about the receiver and DB, it's a one-on-one matchup. Okay, it's the same for defensive linemen, offensive linemen.
Not
nearly
enough.
Matchup.
Right.
We're not winning enough of those one-on-one matchups. It doesn't matter if you're blitz or not. You need, and when teams are running the ball on you successfully, he's right. They're not getting off those blocks. Okay? That 20-plus yard run, DeMarco Murray went around the left side, the right side of the defense. I saw Witten actually block Tyson Alalu. Okay? That can't happen. That should be a mismatch. But Tyson did not get off the block either. You gotta stick your hands to a man's chest plate, extend your arms out, lock out, and then you gotta have violent. As I tell my players, you gotta be violent shed. That is violently shed the block by throwing the man one way or another. Usually you know which way to throw him because where the ball is going and where he's trying to block you. So you throw him the opposite way so you can be right there in the hole to make the play. And today, there wasn't a lot of guys getting off those blocks. You saw a lot of dancing. I call the guys, you're going to the prom. You're out there looking like, you know, you at the prom on a date because you and all of his linemen are dancing. Y'all doing the waltz. No, it is strike him in the chest, throw him down, and get to the ball carrier.
Yep.
And we did not see enough of that today. And it just boils down to the one-on-one matchups each and every week. Guys up front, when we talk about the front four, the front seven, the Jacksonville Jaguars, when they were successful, they were all in the backfield. That's getting all blocks. When you're all in the backfield on the offensive side of the ball, you're getting all blocks. Trust me. And when you're not, you're getting blocked. And today, they were getting blocked.
They got blocked a lot. Dean from the south side up next. Hey, Dean.
Hey, good afternoon. Just watching the Jags and kind of going on Paul's point about some of the angles and some of the tackling and the techniques. I mean, how much of that is we made the decision a couple years ago to blow up this whole thing, and we're just trying to assimilate so many rookies and, you know, young guys, first-year guys, and they're just, you know, their technique, you know, the limitation now in high school and college. And these guys, I mean, you know, just like, you know, Reggie Nelson was here, and he's very talented at Florida, and he didn't get it figured out until he got traded or left and went to Cincinnati. I mean, how much is Paul, and I really enjoy the perspective of Paul and Jeff and Fred and Tony, you know, as far as, you know, their passion, and I can sense the frustration, you know, as former players, former greats of not seeing that. But how much of it do you just think is we've blown this whole thing up and we're just trying to assimilate too many young guys into a program, and this is the first time it's really been done in the NFL where you don't have a you know, a good veteran presence?
Sure, Dean. Appreciate the call. And it was interesting when we had Fred Taylor on in the preseason. He talked about this when the Jags were having some problems tackling early on through preseason, getting into the early part of the season. And Fred said, and obviously Fred made plenty of people miss in his career, he said, outside of playing quarterback, it's the most difficult thing to do in the National Football League is tackle. With the athletes that you're trying to put on the ground and just the size and speed and strength of those guys, it is the most difficult thing to do outside of play the quarterback position is to tackle guys. And I think in the NFL, it's an epidemic at this point. And it's how big plays happen in the National Football League. You miss, you break tackles, you make things happen. The Jags made it happen a couple times today with Cecil Shorts. He broke a couple tackles, made big plays. You run through one, you're going to make a big play. It's the consistency from this Jaguar team of week after week. They'll have periods where they go through 3 or 4 weeks where the tackling is miserable. And from that perspective, I don't know if that's technique. I don't know how much of that you can even do during the week because you got to install game plan. I mean, how much can you even work on it at this point?
I don't know, and I know you don't. We don't know the Jags practice schedule, what Gus allows the defensive coordinator, Bob Babich, to do during the week. I'm pretty sure, especially in bye weeks, usually what happens, coaches do kind of go back to the basics. Let's work on technique. Because the bottom line is that is what's going to be able to propel these young men to be better players for the Jacksonville Jaguars, is technique. Yes, people talk about talent all day, but I'm here to tell you, fans out there that are listening, I'll take a person that has sound technique over talent any day, because technique lasts for 4 quarters, where talent only lasts for a half. Because once a guy gets tired, fatigued, as the old saying goes, fatigue make cowards of us all. You get tired, and that's all you rely on is your talent's gone. But if you got sound technique, you can come out, play in and play out, and play with good technique. That's why we were talking about some of the you hear some of the young offensive linemen that we have, Blanco and Linder. Linder, he's young, but he's been playing with some good sound technique. He's probably been one of the better offensive linemen. He didn't get hurt. I think, you know, he would have probably been on his way to make an all-rookie team this year because he's been playing with good technique. And that's what it boils down to. You have to play with technique. And it goes throughout the week. And you don't have as much time as you used to have in the past. I know at high school, they only have a certain amount of hours. Now at college, you have a short period of time. So players are not getting teach technique. So when you get to the pro level, coaches now, we always teach technique. And I don't know every team. I know when I was here with the Jaguars, Joe Cullen, one of the top better defensive line coaches in the game, he was teaching technique. I know Todd Wash is teaching technique. He's the defensive line coach now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And without technique, hey, it looks bad. And today, there was poor technique out there. poor technique, and it looked bad.
No, it did. Obviously, a bunch of broken tackles today for this Jacksonville Jaguars team. Join head coach Gus Bradley at the 5th Annual McKenzie's Run on November 22nd. This 5K run and walk plus a 1 mile fun run starts and finishes inside Everbank Field. It benefits the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation and their mission to help youth recognize their full potential. To register your team, go to McKenzie'sRun.org. That's McKenzie'sRun.org. Tony Smith, Paul Spicer here with the Scoreboard Show. We will roll on when we return. More of your calls, 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. We'll get you up here on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. All right, a few minutes left here on the Scoreboard Show, about 15 minutes. We'll still be taking your calls at 355-NFL1, 355-6351. I'm Fat Tony, Tony Smith, along with Paul Spicer. Remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Oh, my. And but no field goals today for Josh Scobie. We were talking a little bit about how little he actually played in this game. They go for two on one of the two touchdowns they score. They go for an onside kick after one of their scores today as well. So he really kicked off twice and had one extra point. That was the extent of Scobie's day. So no real action for him today.
No sandwich.
And no sandwiches. No free sandwiches, Jacksonville. You'll just have to go buy your own this week. And Firehouse is delicious. It's my favorite sub here in Jacksonville. Let's get back out to the phone lines now. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We have Joel from the South Side calling in. Hey, Joel.
Hey, good evening, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
All right, so this is my perspective. So, all right, I know we got a young team. Everybody knows that. We got young players, and they're making mistakes. But a lot of things are coming down to coaching to me. I don't know if they're unwilling or unable, but we should have been bringing a lot more pressure today. Everybody and their mama knows that Tony Romo could not move. Anytime we touched him, he looked like Dan Marino in his last season. I mean, he was walking ginger anytime. I can't believe we couldn't get to him, bring any kind of pressure. He just sat back there and picked us apart. The next thing is, who thought that it was a good idea to play man-to-man on Dez Bryant? I mean, Jason Garrett couldn't believe it. At least that was his comments in halftime. I mean, what would make us think we could play this man one-on-one? We would think we would learn after the first touchdown, but no, we didn't. And then another thing, on the offensive side of the ball, I can't remember how many times this year we've gone on it for third and inches, fourth and inches, right up the middle, and didn't make it. I mean, that is a dead play. When we were trying with Toby Gerhardt, And I don't know if we made it or didn't with Blake. I mean, it is a terrible play. Why would we not roll Blake out, give him the option to run, give him the option to pass? That's been one of the most successful plays we've had this year. I really feel like the coaches are hindering these young players. I mean, I know they got a lot of talent, and if they don't get it straight soon, Gus Bradley's going to be coaching defense somewhere else.
All right, appreciate the call, Joel. Look, I think we've talked a little bit about the decision to go one-on-one with Dez Bryant. It's ludicrous to think you're going to cover Dez Bryant one-on-one in that situation with no help over the top.
Oh, Tony, wait a minute.
Ludicrous.
Joel contradicts himself, man. You can't sit there and say we need to be pressuring Romo more. And then the next sentence come out your mouth and say
sure,
we can't go one-on-one with Dez Bryant. That's what happens when you blitz. You put your corners on one-on-one coverage. So, I mean, I don't know if they were blitzing at that moment when he had that. They probably were. And, I mean, yeah, they know Tony Romo can't move. But the fact is you can't say, well, you know, we can't don't do enough of this and then don't do that when they go hand-to-hand. That's crazy. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you watching the game or you sitting there, you know, picking your butt. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you can't – I understand. We frustrated. I'm frustrated. You're frustrated. But you can't sit there and make comments when you're just contradicting yourself.
No, I hear you. No, I hear you. And look, whatever they were running today, it didn't work.
No.
I mean, they didn't get pressure when they blitzed. They didn't get pressure with their front four. Tony Romo, it was uncanny. And he's always kind of had this ability since he came into the league to, when he needs to, the ball gets out quick. When he's I don't know. Some guys just have a sense of what time they do and don't have. And Tony has always struck me as one of those guys. He understands inside a play what he's going to have and what he's not going to have. And that's kind of an innate thing for quarterbacks. And it's something that Tony Romo has. It's almost a sixth sense for him where he can feel before a play, look, I'm going to have a little bit of time to let this one develop, or I need to hit my back foot and this ball needs to come out. He's always seemed to have that ability. Today, even when it felt like the Jags may have been getting some kind of pressure, when he hit that back foot, bam, ball's out. I mean, when a guy's making plays, a guy's making plays. Is it frustrating that you're going up against a guy that we all knew was hurt and you couldn't touch him?
Yeah. But
sure.
A good quarterback like Tony Romo, who's been playing at almost MVP level this year,
right?
Okay, he knows if he sees defenders coming, when he sees backers coming, he knows it's a blitz. He knows he has one-on-one outside.
Right.
And he got one of the best in the game in Des Bryant, who goes up as strong as anybody in the league. I put him up against anybody in the league right now. Calvin Johnson, you name him, put him up against him. He's one of the best in the league. He throws that thing up. Hey, he's going to, and he knows our secondary 2 years in, every last one of them.
Right.
He knows I got the percentages way in my favor, in our receiver's favor, to go up and get this pass.
Well, you get beat by Des Bryant on the play. All right. It's Des Bryant beating you on the play. Tackle the guy.
Then it goes back to the Jaguars.
Right. If Dwayne Grotz, you have the guy. You're right there. You're hanging on his waist. Get him on the ground. Jonathan Cyprian, you're coming over from that safety spot. Whatever you got to do, you get him on the ground. You get him out of bounds, but you can't let that play turn into a touchdown. And on the other side, I told you weeks ago when you and I really started doing the Monday nights together that Jaguars lose the next day, the next hour, whatever it is, the conversation at some point is going to turn to play calling and what Jed Fish has done, because fans constantly go back to it. And I think, look, we talk about all the youth on this team. He's handcuffed to some degree by what's available to him with this team right now. And on a day like today where the offensive line isn't helping you out, I don't know, because I haven't, again, watched the tape, but how many of the four sacks that Blake Bortles took were on plays where Jed Fish decided, yeah, we're going to try to take a shot downfield. Nobody gets open, and all he's accomplishing is getting his quarterback hit. I mean, how many of those plays are that type of thing? Is anybody getting any kind of separation or open at all on these plays where they call downfield routes?
But also, is O-line giving him time?
Right.
We just mentioned it. A good offensive line, Romo had time to find that pass to Des Bryant. But on the flip side of this thing, for our team, who we love, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles did not have that time to find his receivers downfield.
No.
So we can't just sit there and just point at the receivers if they get open or not. We don't know that. As you said, we got to watch the tape. We can go back and look at the tape and say, Jogo, you gave up that sack. Bortles had no time. And like I said, the average to getting that ball out of your hand as far as a quarterback is 1.3 seconds. That's pretty fast. You got to get that ball out. And if the offensive line is not allowing you to have that time, and these guys know that. I mean, these players, defensive linemen, get time. When they do the 40, okay, for all you know, when the draft comes up and the combine comes up and now it's on TV, for everybody watching that 40, you see there's a coach on every 10 yards. They time you on every 10 yards. We're looking for defensive linemen that can get to that first 10 yards in less than 1.5 seconds. That's pretty fast. And you got a lot of them that can do it. And I'm not saying Jeremy Missy and other guys that was getting sacks today can do that. But you know what? Hey, when the offensive line is not playing well, it makes it a pretty bad recipe for a young quarterback trying to find his way in this league.
And it certainly wasn't playing well today. The offensive line was bad today. And it really killed any opportunity for this team to find any traction on offense for most of the game. They had that first drive. I honestly, Paul, I think it may have been the best drive they've had all year. That first scoring drive that they had today with 9 plays and 80 yards, they convert a couple of third downs. The play action pass worked for them. They had the long run to end it by Denard Robinson, and maybe that loosens up everything for Dallas. Instead, nothing got loosened up.
No,
nothing.
Came back with a muff punt.
Right, and it's because the offensive line wasn't good enough. It just flat out was not good enough today for them to be any kind of consistent on any level with what they were trying to do. Let's get to David, who's out in Mandarin, up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hey, David.
Hey, man, I got a question for you. What are we – this is a rhetorical question. Just want to get your comments. What are we, 7 and, 34 now over the last 3 years?
That's bad,
do you ever envision where we're 34 and 7 over 3 years?
All right, David. Appreciate the call. Look, dude, I don't know what to tell you. And for every fan out there that's like David, look, be mad all you want. Be mad as hell. No one's trying to stop you from being angry about what's going on with this Jacksonville Jaguars team. I'm not as negative as David. That doesn't mean that you aren't allowed to be. Look, I do think that if you look back over the last month of the season, there's been some progress from this Jacksonville Jaguars team. Can't talk about it today. Haven't talked about it today because it wasn't there. It's bad today. It's all bad today with the effort that they put out there against the Dallas Cowboys over there in London, and it's frustrating. All right? Look, be mad as you want. I'm not going to tell you not to be, David. It's all right. Keep calling. 355-6351, 355-NFL1. I'm Tony Smith, Paul Spicer, alongside. When we return, the final segment of the Scoreboard Show. We'll try to get in a few more phone calls before we turn it over to the fifth quarter here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM on Jaguars Radio. The JTA's new route of optimization initiative will provide reliable service, increased bus frequency, rename routes, and decreased travel time starting December 1st, 2014. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. Welcome back, everyone. I am Fat Tony, Tony Smith, along with Paul Spicer, former Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end. The injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. A couple of Jaguars receivers leave the game today with apparent head injuries. It has been confirmed that Allen Hurns did suffer a concussion in the game, but that Cecil Shorts, it is not a concussion, which is good news for Cecil. Again, that's not a guy who's caught a lot of breaks when it comes to injuries to this point in his career. So good to hear that he should be fine coming out of that. But look, going back to David, who called us a moment ago and, you know, asking, can you ever envision a day where this team is 34-7 during a 40-game streak as opposed to 7-34? It's hard to see right now, you know, and it's not a team that's having a lot of success when it comes to wins and losses. It's hard to see this being a winning football team right now. And we've watched a bunch of rebuilds throughout the years in the National Football League. And for everyone who wants to point to a team like Seattle, look, that's a team that was winning, you know, five or six games every year and then found themselves a quarterback in the third round. They started hitting on draft picks all throughout the draft, and it turned around quick. It felt like real quick for that Seattle team. There is no true blueprint for success in the National Football League, and I think the closest thing to that is owner, head coach, quarterback. Is the closest that you can get to a blueprint for success in the NFL. And maybe GM thrown in there too. But owner, GM, head coach, quarterback. And right now, there are questions about whether or not they have the right guys in some of those spots. I think for some of the fans out there, you see 1-9, the success that they didn't have last year as well. If you want to start questioning whether Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley are the right guys to lead this franchise to some success, I think it's fair for fans to feel that way at this point.
I mean, right now, what fans got to understand is not only these players young and it's their first time, we got to remember something, okay? Before, you know, 2 years ago, Shad Khan was never owner, okay? Before 2 years ago, David Caldwell was never GM, as well as Gus Bradley was never head coach, all right? Just like Blake Bortles. He wasn't, you know, he's finally a starting quarterback. So it's everybody from the top to bottom are all in this learning as they go. And I think, barring the record, there have been some good. There have been some great things that have happened. I mean, with the stadium and the changes, that's great for the community. But right now, this team, with some more people in place, some more players in place here and there, I think they can be that team that can go 34-7, as David mentioned. Could we ever see it? I think we can. We're not going to see it right now, especially with all the inexperience that we have across the board. We can't even focus really outside, I think, of the defensive line. You can't focus on a group on this team that you can say, yo, they got it. They get it. Every position group on this team outside the defensive line it does not have the experience, does not have the know-how to go in NFL season week in and week out and really know what it takes. And knows what it takes to bounce back from that adversity that they're facing right now as we sit 1-9. So with that being said, it as a caller said earlier, it will take some time. I think that was Joe. I'm not for sure, but it will take some time. And it's frustrating because right now fans spending their money. Right now, our society is a right now society. We
sure
want to see the wins right now. So, like I said, it's unfortunate, but right now I'm still optimistic, and I just hope that the fans and listeners out there stay optimistic as well.
I'm a pretty optimistic guy by nature, Paul. I'm a glass-half-full guy most of the time. I think it's hard right now to see through some of the muck with this football team. Again, it's 1-9 again, and the effort today was – it can't happen this way. I mean, for a team that wants to sell, yeah, we're in a rebuild. Yeah, we're getting better. You can't have days like today where nothing got better. I mean, it just – you can't have that kind of product. It's a frustrating time to be a Jaguar fan as we start to wrap things up here on the postgame show.
As we're about to wrap things up, and I know my man Hacker and T-Wig are going to come on afterwards, and I'm pretty sure we're going to hear this word, abysmal, several times today to my man Hack. So today was abysmal. I mean, it really, really was. And it's really unfortunate because – we all was hoping, and I even was saying before this game that I thought the Jags had a chance.
No, I thought they had a chance in this game too, and really early on you felt like it was even more real a chance for them, but unable to get it done. 7-3, the muffed punt just put them in a hole that they were never quite able to dig themselves out of. We got Hacker and T-Wig coming up next on the fifth quarter. They'll take your phone call, 641-1010. If you want to get your calls in, if you're still frustrated, we'll let you vent a little bit more here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Paul, thank you so much for coming in today and joining me and talking a little bit about the effort of this Jaguars team out there against Dallas.
I appreciate that, Tony. You know, allowing me to come in today along with my father-in-law.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. And after today's game, there's only one way to go for the Jaguars, and that's uphill. You can't get any worse than what you saw today, guys. Hang in there, Jacksonville. We're going to get better.
There you have
it. Oh, it's glass half full, Jacksonville. Yeah. I love it.
Positivity.
And that's right. And on that note, we will wrap things up. Thank you so much for listening today. The Jags off next week. Jaguars Monday will be back on the air tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. They'll talk about it. They'll break it down. Paul Spicer and I will join you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock following Jaguars Monday from 8 to 10 on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. For Linda Fortunato, for Paul Spicer, for Tony Smith, myself, the fifth quarter on 1010 XL starts right now.